You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe on the Huntington Bank Bad Boy. Jeremy, 713-780-3776. Robert in Beaumont, because BYU would be a 6-point dog to Miami, UT, and 4-point dog to Vandy. That's not how you pick the 12th. You pick the 12 based on their resume, not what Vegas is going to handicap the game as.
And it's a flawed argument because Notre Dame would have been 5.5-point favorites versus Miami, 3-point favorites versus Oklahoma, 9-point favorites versus Oklahoma, and 3-point favorites versus Alabama. Like, you can't look at it that way.
Boom, roasted. The easy fix is AI. Bring back the BCS. I saw a few people tweeting this. I think the people that are tweeting this don't realize what the BCS was.
Yes.
You're giving a third of the voting weight to the AP poll, who earlier this year had a person vote for Florida after they lost to USF and then giggled about it and was like, oh, I didn't see that. That is not the answer. Now, if you want to go computers, okay, you got my attention. But people are forgetting what the BCS was. That anybody who's saying bring back the BCS either forgot what it was or doesn't remember what it was.
Yeah, and I do think part of the AP, like people are like, they like the AP, is I think the ending AP poll was way better, actually.
Really? Well, I haven't
looked. So Indiana 1, Georgia 2, Ohio State 3, Tech 4, Oregon, Ole Miss, A&M, it's 5 through 7,
yeah.
Oklahoma 8, Notre Dame at 9, Miami at 10, Alabama at 11,
wow,
BYU at 12.
They dropped Alabama at 11.
So
huh?
In this format, they would have had Tulane and James Madison in as the last two teams over Alabama and BYU instead of Notre Dame and BYU.
Interesting.
So I actually, like, for the first time all season, I like
the way it finished.
Yeah.
Why is it when something bad happens to Notre Dame or Texas, people insist it's the end of college football as we know it?
I don't think people act that way. I think Notre Dame's very upset, and there's a little take your ball and going home happening here. But if you say that, but imagine if they would have dropped Alabama.
They did last year. Alabama got snubbed last year.
I would agree.
Yeah, absolutely got snubbed. If they should have been in over SMU.
I agree.
BYU should have been too.
But like Alabama could easily have been the team out this year instead of Notre Dame.
I don't really think they were ever in the conversation of being out. And I don't think they should have been. I don't think they should have been.
I don't really think so either. I thought the game was... Okay, so this is where
I don't care about the conference championship game. I don't think that you should be punished based on a conference championship game when you're one of a select few that are playing
right
on championship weekend.
But they did for everyone but one team.
Yeah, it's bad.
And like they should have. See, it's unfair because they should have punished them and dropped them. But because of the way the ACC played out and the fact that Tulane and James Madison were getting auto bids, it would have knocked Alabama out. So it's like, I think they should have still been in the playoff, but because of the structure of it, it would have knocked them out this year. And that's not right because they played in the conference championship game. But they should not be 9.
The Alabama jumping Notre Dame after A&M loss was kind of convenient.
It feels very orchestrated to me. It's like they were like, okay, we are setting this up to eventually get it right and take out Notre Dame. And they got it right in the end, but how they got there was so flawed, and they made it worse by apparently, because I know you want to hit on this. Apparently, there is a provision for the college football playoffs for next year, even if they expand, where if Notre Dame is ranked in the top 12, they are guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff. You know how stupid that is? A team is guaranteed that's not in a conference? That's ridiculous. And I'm a Notre Dame fan.
So you used to have this, right, back in the BCS?
Yes.
That they were guaranteed a New Year's Six game if they finished, what, like top 12 or something like that?
Yes, that's different.
It's different because it's not playing for its national title.
Yes. They do not – that provision should not be there.
Yeah, why is it?
I don't know.
It's weird.
How do you start the college football playoff system 12-team format with Notre Dame can't have a bye because they're not in a conference and end with they're guaranteed a spot in the top 12 and then this committee – all they're going to do is not rank Notre Dame in the top 12 if they have a loss. They're just not going to rank them.
It depends on the team that they would oust.
But like, no, Notre Dame's not going to lose the game next year unless they lose to Miami.
Yeah, their schedule's poor.
Like, their schedule's cakewalk next year.
Do you think they'll be in the ACC much longer?
I don't. Well, that's complicated. Because they tried. They tried to go to the other conferences when they left the Big East and say, will you take all of our Olympic sports but football? And the Big Ten said no. So you'd have to find a partner that wants to do it. But
Big 12.
If I had my way, I would leave the ACC for all the Olympic sports and basketball, and I would find a new home. And frankly, I don't care if it's the American. I don't care if it's the Big 12 or the SEC or the Big 10. I would end that partnership. That conference is the reason why Notre Dame's not in the playoffs, because they are forced in this partnership to play five or six games against this dog conference. And that's why they're not in.
You want to stay independent?
I mean, I do because I like tradition in college football. But, like, tradition's gone. Like, I like the Apple Cup, and I hate that it's going away. I like, you know, I hate that it took so long to get A&M and Texas back. It's ridiculous. Like, yeah. Notre Dame has been independent, and when they tried to join the Big Ten, they got rejected. Now, the last time that happened was in 1926, so that was a long-ass time ago. But, like, they've been rejected from the Big Ten 100 years ago.
I saw the commissioner the other day in Orlando. I gave him a head nod and said, thank you for all that you're doing for the Big 12, Commissioner Yormark. So since I'm on a last name basis with the commish, I'll accept Notre Dame into the Big 12 and all of the non-football sports.
Can they keep their, and honestly, I'm fine if they join in football.
Come on.
But I'm not giving up my money.
They joined a conference in football, they'd be in the Big 10.
The problem is, and all the conference has to do is say you can keep your contract. You can keep your contract.
Yeah, I think the Big 12 would take them.
You make $25 million a year from NBC.
Yeah.
You can keep that and join the Big 12.
Yeah,
go
I think the Big 12 would let them if they have the scheduling agreement thing that they have with the ACC.
I'm in. Like, screw those
guys. I think
guys.
It'd be great for the Big 12, too. I mean, the Big 12, like, they could use another, like, top-tier brand name.
Yeah.
Add some cachet to the league. It's going to be a quality opponent, obviously. I think it'd be good.
And, like, I get it. Like, the ACC defended themselves. Like, we're going to defend our football participating conferences or teams. But at the end of the day, like, you are partners for every single sport. And if you're Notre Dame, I don't know how you can trust that conference now going forward, that if it came down to a college baseball playoff spot or a spot in the soccer tournament or anything, that you could trust them. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I wouldn't trust the ACC at this point.
AD's mad.
I don't want to join a conference in football, but it's the unfortunate reality that I think they might have to.
I think Notre Dame, though, rejecting the bowl could be like a big domino into totally changing the landscape of what bowl games look like.
It's Christian McCaffrey. They're the first team to do it, and they're not the first team to do it. They're the third team to do it this year. Now, the Kansas State and Iowa State circumstances are a little bit different, but for decades now, we watched Notre Dame play in a bowl game 6 years ago after Brian Kelly left for LSU. Like, the teams don't do this, and now you've got Iowa State, Kansas State, Notre Dame, and Baylor opt out of a bowl game. Like, Marshall last year made sense. They could not field a roster because of the transfer portal. That's different. These teams are just not playing. But the fact that Notre Dame did it, the bowl game stuff, it's dead. Rick Neuheisel today was on Dan Patrick's show. He said something that we've talked about before. Bowl games, week zero.
Love it. That was Dana Holgerson's idea, for what it's worth. But why not?
Yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you force competition into college football.
Think about it, too. Like, we have these college kickoff games, like at the Georgia Dome. It's like Clemson and, you know, Alabama, how big that game is, because everybody's waiting for college football. These bowl games would all of a sudden be important again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because everybody wants college football to kick off. Everybody loves, like, the start of college football season. No one really cares at this point. Like, if your team 13 to 50. Very few teams really care about their bowl that much.
Yeah.
And their fan bases don't really care about their bowls that much. So they're not getting tons of attendance at their bowl games anymore. You put it week zero, all of a sudden, all the excitement is back.
Absolutely. People are traveling. Like, they're like the stadiums are full.
It'd be great.
Like, Notre Dame BYU started next season. Great.
Yeah, there are some scheduling things, though, because like, it's like an extra game all of a sudden. Like, what
cool.
Would you do?
Then take off Samford from Texas A&M's schedule.
Yeah, but now you're, I mean, Sark wouldn't like that.
I know. But like, and like for like the texters, like, Notre Dame canceled Michigan. No, they didn't. They agreed to expand their games with the ACC. And when Michigan and the Big Ten expanded their conference games, that game had to come off the schedule. Now, USC is being canceled because of USC. So like, that's another game coming off the books. Probably won't be on the schedule next year mm-hmm. for Notre Dame, making their schedule even worse.
They need the Big 12, baby. They need a legit league to play with.
Yeah, get a real partnership. Go to the American.
No, the Big 12.
Go to the MAC.
No, the Big 12. The MAC. They're playing in Northern Illinois. They would lose. They would lose in the MAC.
Northern Illinois is not in the MAC anymore.
Really?
They're in the Mountain West now, starting next year.
How's that possible?
I don't know, but they joined the Mountain West.
They're not in the West.
They are next year.
They're, but like, only, they're but, not in the West. They're the gateway to the West.
But only in football are they in the Mountain West next year.
Weird. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Angel, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Angel?
Hey, guys. Jeremy, I kind of came around with your idea of the 2014 playoff. I was so against it, but I think I'm coming around with all this. But anyways, on a serious note, really, a couple of thoughts on this playoff bracket and everything. One, I don't think Alabama should have been there. I don't understand why they're there. They got dominated by Georgia. I'm assuming, my opinion, the committee is trying to make up the mistake of them not putting Alabama in the past. I think it was last year that they didn't put him in. And then also, too, if anything, I think BYU should have probably replaced them. Notre Dame, too. I think they did them dirty. But honestly, with the head-to-head between Miami and Notre Dame, well, Miami had to go in. But honestly, with Notre Dame, I mean, the only thing about them is I just don't understand why they're not in a conference in their football team. If they would have stayed in the ACC, you know, played in a conference championship game against Virginia, I'm pretty sure they would have dominated and made the playoff without any problem, you know. But other than that, you know, I mean, I think it was pretty fair based on the head-to-head, but they still did Notre Dame pretty dirty. But I don't know, maybe hopefully in the future we'll see Notre Dame in a conference and make it to their conference championship game and not have this issue anymore. But those are my thoughts. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Notre Dame is going to rush into a conference, and I think it will be the Big Ten, ultimately. But Notre Dame's not going to join a conference because college football will not make them. Because the college football playoff system, like, everyone doesn't like it. Well, this is what the college football playoffs did last year. They gave Notre Dame $20 million last year, Jeremy. Texas made $10.25 million. They were the next team to make the most money. Notre Dame doubled it because of the pay structure that they set up for Notre Dame to make the playoffs. Like, all they do is reward it. All Notre Dame does is sell tickets for these teams when they go there. Like, it's just the reality. Like, if they want to do it, there's going to have to be massive collusion. You're going to have Alabama and Texas, for the year they're supposed to play Notre Dame in 2029, both opt out. Like, you're going to have all these teams say, like, we're not scheduling you. It's never going to happen because they're a moneymaker.
The networks could come into play if they just strong-armed Notre Dame into, like, hey, you're not going to give you the money unless you're in a conference. Usually that's what determines conference realignment.
Ultimately,
networks and stuff.
Ultimately, what I think happens is Notre Dame joins a conference, and it's because it's who NBC wants.
Could be.
I think NBC steps up and says, we'll solve this problem for you. We'll give you $25 million a year, and we'll take on the Big 12.
We're going to buy the rights for whatever.
Yeah, we're going to buy the rights to the Big 12 or the ACC. I think that's the only way Notre Dame gets in a conference.
713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in the junkyard. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Rankings are out. Great conversation today. Few points I want to make. I think Alabama getting in was the right move, even though they lost the Georgia in the SEC title game. They arguably have the second best win of any team in the country this year with the win at Georgia. The only better win was obviously Indiana beating Ohio State. So I thought that held a lot of ground. If you look at the first four teams out, Notre Dame, they lost two of their biggest games of the year. Only wins against only ranked win is basically USC. BYU, they lost their two biggest games of the year, twice to Texas Tech. Their only win is an in-state rival against a Utah team. Vanderbilt, they won 10 wins. I'm a huge Vanderbilt fan this year. I want Pavi to win the Heisman. They lost their two biggest games of the year to Texas and Alabama. And then, the fourth team on the way on the outs.
Texas?
Who was it? Notre Dame missed it. Texas missed it. BYU missed it. Vanderbilt missed it. So those four teams all lost critical games. Alabama has the second biggest win of the year. I do think that one G5 team is enough. So any one of those four teams should have taken the second G5 spot. But I think Alabama deserved to be there because they've still got 10 wins and they have the second biggest win of the year at Georgia.
Yeah, my only counter is that, and it wasn't going to happen, but like,
he hung up with quickness.
I was trying to catch it.
Alabama, like Tandell-like quickness.
Alabama lost to Florida State by 14 points and lost to Georgia by 21. Notre Dame lost by 4 points combined. Like, Notre Dame's losses are better. But the wins are cool. Better for Alabama. Like,
but like that, I hate that argument so much. Oh, my losses are better than your losses. I deserve to be in.
Yeah, I think Alabama should be in. I just think they should be lower than they're ranked.
I'll be honest. I don't really mind the 12 teams that are in. Like BYU over Miami, would I rather have that? Yeah. Is that a Tal's Hill I'm going to die on? No. The biggest issue that I have is that they had BYU ranked number 11, and then because they played in the conference championship game, they dropped them a spot to number 12, and I think that's incredibly punitive for the select few that are playing in championship weekend. I don't mind the 12, and I have no issue with two group of fives.
Does it kill it? Does it kill conference championship games?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that it does. I have a fix for it in a minute. But like, I don't even care about the group of five. Like, you can't, like, oh, the committee, they shouldn't have James Madison in. How about you fix your tiebreaker, ACC,
and
we don't have this issue. It's on the ACC. It's not on James Madison. It's not on the committee. Based on the rules and the parameters that the committee has to go off of, I don't hate the 12 that they got to. I hate the bull crap that happened before. Like, oh, we're going to jump Alabama and Notre Dame. We're not going to have Miami ahead of Notre Dame. I hate the made-for-TV show. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should have the show. I think they should have one show at the end of the year. That way all of this, like, contradictory stuff is eliminated. That's my biggest issue. I don't hate the field. The field, to me, is fine.
Yeah, they have to. That's not. Unfortunately, it's not going to change because people are going to watch it every single week, and we're going to have to talk about
it. Do they though?
I would guess the ratings show that.
I don't know.
Like I haven't seen that.
I haven't watched that show once. The only time I watched the show was on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think that needs to go away. It's a waste of time now.
All right, 713-780-3776. So I do have the fix. I have the plan that would fix this year's whole debacle and would fix last year's debacle, too. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, listen right now. Monument Chevrolet is the best dealership in the world. Why? Because you can trust them. They're the dealer that you can trust. They're transparent. They're not going to hassle you with pricing. You're going to get your car shopping done fast, which in December, you got to get everything done fast because you procrastinated and you waited to the very end. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and these families just keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. It's a family feel there, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to a fantastic culture. And look, just the season for savings, right? With the year coming to an end, Monument Chevrolet's clearing inventory left and right. So now is the best time to get an unbeatable deal on the vehicle that you want. And get this, Monument Chevrolet is running a 12 days of Christmas. It starts soon. It'll begin on December 12th. Each day, an unbeatable deal will be offered on a specific model. These are crazy deals, unbelievable deals, the lowest prices of the entire year type of deals. But here's the catch. The offers will be valid for only one day. So you got to be paying attention. Daily specials will be posted on social media for Monument Chevrolet and also monumentchevrolet.com. Be sure to follow Monument Chevrolet to see the 12 days of Christmas. You're going to get a fair deal, a transparent deal, a no-hassle deal without wasting your time in aggravating stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Get in on the savings. MonumentChevrolet.com to check out their full inventory. MonumentChevrolet.com. Just go visit them in person. 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together. Let's drive.
ESPN 97.5. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. Jeremy and Joe. I meant to read this text a little bit earlier. Why does that rejoin say Jeremy and Joe starts now when y'all started at 3? Great question.
Great question.
Cutler done no ball. Apparently earlier, whenever I was talking about the BCS, I said forgot or don't remember. What the heck, dummy? My bad. Talk for 3 hours a day. I'm going to make a few mistakes. I meant forget or didn't know how it was done.
Mm. That's
what I meant to say.
I think I got what you meant.
Error on Branham. My bad. Thank you for calling me out, though. We need to be held accountable. We ask that players and coaches are held accountable, so we as well need to be held accountable. So I thank you for that text. 713-780-3776. So here's my fix, Joe. Okay. It would fix this year's college football playoff. It would fix last year's college football playoff. 16 teams. I looked at the brackets for what would have been a 16 and what would have been a 24. Look, I'm cool with 24, too. 23 games, all top 25 matchups. Give me more high-stakes football games. I'm cool with that. I actually like the look of the 16-team bracket more than I like the look of the 24-team bracket, I'll admit. But go to 16 teams. Does that create, you know, is it bulletproof? Are teams going to not argue for not getting in? Of course not. But they become less meaningful the further and further you go down. Because if you went to 16 teams this year, all the teams that are griping are actually in. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame would be in. They're griping a whole lot right now. There's your 13th team. BYU's griping a whole lot right now. There's your 14th team. Vanderbilt is griping a whole lot right now. There's your 15th team. Texas, we got the best wins of everybody. Well, there's your 16th team. Boom, I fixed your problem. There you go. You're welcome, college football.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, and I think we're going to get it.
This next year? Oh, wow.
I think there's a reason why they pushed back the decision date to January 23rd. I think we're going to get 16 next year. I think the Big Ten and the SEC are going to figure it out because that's the only reason why it hasn't happened yet. The Big Ten wants 24. The SEC wants 16.
Yeah, they just go 16.
I think the Big Ten, the strength of their argument has been dramatically damaged by what happened in the ACC this year, that you would have had to give 4 bids to the ACC this year and their only team in is highly debatable.
Yeah.
So I don't think that we're going to see the 24-team format come to fruition. I think it'll be 16, and I think it'll start next year.
Let's go. I don't even need anything else. I don't need the AQs. I don't even need the 5. People want to change. It needs to be the 5 power. Well, there's not 5 power conferences. 4 power conferences. Just keep it the way it is. 5 conference champions. ACC, if you want to have a gimmicky, stupid tiebreaker for your second and 5-way tie, that's on you.
That's going to change, though.
Absolutely, it's going to change.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's going to change. They didn't have the foresight to think, that was going to happen. It absolutely, it's going to change to be the highest ranked team in the college football ranking. That's what it's going to be, as it should be.
Agreed. And I don't think it should be pretty simple going forward, frankly. I think the Notre Dame auto bid thing, you got to get rid of it. That's crazy. I can't believe they would agree to that.
JMU should not be their first year of FBS. No, absolutely, they should be there. They were one of the top 5 highest ranked conference champions, and you know who put these rules together? The commissioners of the conferences. Yeah,
because they never thought,
they just didn't think of that.
When they started this, they never thought that this was going to affect anyone outside of the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the Pac-12.
Yeah. They originally was the top 6 conference champions.
Yep, and then the Pac-12 vanished.
Yeah, they went top 5.
So they cut down to 5. They did this for a reason, to give them a guaranteed spot of representation. I think they deserve it. One team deserves to get in. I think James Madison should be in the playoff this year? Yes, because those are the rules. The only reason why you say no is because the ACC screwed up. Yes. Miami should have been playing for an ACC title, and that would knock out James Madison. That, to me, is the only real argument, but that's the ACC's fault. And that's why I do feel like they got rewarded for making a mistake and part of the reason why they got put in.
Probably. The one thing that I do like about this year's playoff and last year's playoff and every playoff going forward, every single team that missed could have done more to be in. I will say that.
100%.
Like back in the day when you had the 4, even the 2 team, even the 4 team, you had undefeated teams who were not playing for its national championship. That was my biggest grief with college football, is that you might have the greatest team ever, but because they didn't have a great resume, they're not even going to have a chance to play for its sports championship. You can no longer say that with a 12. You won't say that with a 16. And you know what? We do a lot of griping on this show. I am thankful for that.
I think it's better. Like it's as upset as Notre Dame fans are, and I'm upset. Beat Miami. Like everyone, like I can't tell how many times
every team has that.
I've been sent this holding call that wasn't called in the A&M Notre Dame game. It's brutal. But at the end of the day, like if your backup quarterback just holds on to the damn football, yeah. You make the extra point, maybe you win in overtime, and you're in the playoff, and there's no conversation. You control your own destiny now, and that's why I don't think like you need to see major. I think a lot needs to change, and like I think the first thing that needs to change, besides I think these conferences figuring out their how to get into the playoff, I think collectively, and this is where you can include Notre Dame in the argument, but you can also include Texas A&M and Indiana. We have to figure out schedules differently. We have to. Texas A&M, like they're being punished for being on the wrong side of their random conference games and playing the Sisters of the Poor of the SEC.
The conferences are too big.
Exactly. And Indiana, same thing last year. They had a cakewalk through the Big Ten. They did not play a single team above 500 last year in the Big Ten.
Well, you know my idea. I want 20-team conferences with divisions of 10 teams.
Like, all you have to do is say, hey, we're going to do we're going to do like an NFL format where just the first place team is like the top teams are going to play a harder schedule. And then the committee can reward multi-loss teams if everyone's good. But also, it's impossible to predict. Yeah. It's impossible because like what happens when Notre Dame plays Alabama in 2029 and they're the Alabama they've been my entire life until Nick Saban got there? You're going to criticize them then for having Alabama on their schedule?
What if Alabama's they're bad Notre good? Dame?
100%. No, it goes the same way.
It's just funny you didn't say it that way.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I'm never going to do that.
It's just funny you didn't say it. Notre Dame's had more bad years this century than Alabama has
100%.
Had. So you just went to the Alabama being bad, not Notre Dame being bad.
What if it's the, Charlie Strong era Texas team when they play? Like, you're going to punish them then? Well, they scheduled it. Sorry, they had to schedule it 10 years in advance.
Charlie Strong won a New Year's Six bowl game?
Did he win one?
I know Herman did. I can't remember if Strong did.
I think he might have got one that first year after Matt, right?
Yeah, because, they were trying to, Texas is back. They're trying to do that a lot.
Yeah, they've been doing that for years.
Can you guys explain why A&M did not play for the SEC championship when they had a better record than Alabama, please? Well, they didn't have a better SEC record, and they had the weird tiebreaker, too. SEC has the weird tiebreaker, too. Now, it's not ever going to matter in the SEC because they're always going to be ranked super high, but that's why. When the new Pac-12 is formed, what are they going to do? Well, it's the top five conference champions currently that are ranked highest. I don't think that the Pac-12 is going to have a group of four status, though.
No, it's not. I mean, like, you've got, like, Boise State in there, Washington
Power
State.
Four. I'm in Power Four.
They're not. They're going to be below the American in terms of quality. Maybe not forever. I would guess forever. It's not supposed to be a very talented conference. Like, it's like people didn't, like, run back to the Pac-12. Like Stanford and Cal and those teams are still in the ACC. So the Pac-12 is not going to be good.
Yeah.
It just has a brand on it.
I mean, they might be the top group of five, or I guess group of six.
I'm pretty in on the American, to be honest with you.
You're preaching to the choir.
Now, you lost a lot of coaches, but.
I was telling, we'll see how it's seasonal. But they had a great year this year. The American did. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get to the top NFL games from yesterday. Who had the biggest win yesterday? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 97.9 HD2. Are you looking to escape the rat race for the weekend? Maybe some of the Fighting Irish people can do this now that they don't have anything to do for the next few weeks. Maybe they can get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. They can escape the hustle and bustle of the committee and rankings and college football playoffs and all these things that's causing them stress and anxiety. They would love to. Plus, it's cold up there right now in South Bend. They would love to get down here to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. It might be cold for us, but it's going to be like summer for them. So get on out there, Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston, and maybe you'll see some of the crying Irish. Escape the city and enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay, twocreekscrossingresort.com. They got the open green spaces for you. They got the wildlife, the beautiful, majestic trees, the great outdoors. Some of the best fishing in Texas, too, the two creeks that run alongside their property, the big catch and release pond in the middle of the property, which is great for the kiddos. You can't beat it. It's only 90 minutes from Houston, too. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You're not in the car for 8 hours. You're not dealing with TSA and catching flights. Nope. You're there in an hour and a half. You're going to be hiking their 92 acres of property in no time. If you like kayaking, they got that. If you like to play pickleball, they got that. They have it all, too. Glamping, cabins. We stayed in the treehouse when we went. The kids loved it. Or if you have an RV, just pull up that sucker. Pull up the RV. And from now until February, you can get 40% off all cabin rentals, 20% off nightly RV stays. It's their 40-20 discount, perfect for relaxing by the fire or exploring the beautiful outdoors. And they're always taking care of their visitors out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Let's take this weekend, for instance, Friday. They got Winter Wonderland going on all weekend long. Bonfire and s'mores for you, which is always great. They got bingo on Saturday, stuff for the kiddos. You're going to love the hospitality at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
It's Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. You never know whenever we're going to give you a thing. Sometimes we tease it, sometimes we just drop it on. You guys keeping you guessing. You got to keep a good defense on their heels. This December, the world of Avatar will change forever as conflict on Pandora escalates. Caller number 5 to 713-780-3776 wins a 4-pack of tickets to see the movie at any theater, anytime, plus a $100 Visa gift card courtesy of the show. Avatar, Fire and Ash is in theaters everywhere December 19th. Who had the best win this weekend in the NFL, Joe?
The Packers.
Oh, over your Bears?
I think so.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's not a bad win. That's a good win. That's probably the best win.
Yeah, I mean, if 9-3 versus 8-3-1, you win by a touchdown.
It's a good game, too.
It was a good game.
Are you more impressed with Chicago now, even though they lost?
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen people saying that.
Especially second half. Caleb was incredible on the second half. He was so good. Yeah,
you're giddy about that.
I think, he's everything I want him to be in more in the second half.
Whoa, take it easy.
First half. Not great.
It's crazy they fell from 1-7.
I know.
It shows you how competitive the NFC is.
Does 10 wins get you in? I don't think so, because Detroit's got 8.
Yeah, so Seattle has 10 wins right now. They're in 7.
I think you're going to need 11 wins to make the playoffs in the NFC this year.
Yeah, you got at least to feel safe.
Yeah, but I think the Packers had the best win this weekend.
Yeah, that's a fair call. That was a good victory. Tight game late. Get the job done. Good job, Packers. NFC so good. In division, mm-hmm. Jags smoke the Colts. Daniel yeah. Jones tearing his Achilles. The story here. I feel bad for Daniel Jones, admittedly. Like, he was about to cash in and get a big contract because he had the best year of his career. And then, oh, here you go, torn Achilles. Who knows what's going to be if his contract. Probably a one-year prove-it deal now.
Oh, if he and plays.
You know, is he even back?
I mean, Achilles are usually 12 months, right?
Yeah, it's going to be hard for him to get back.
I mean, Rodgers... He came back right away.
Not really.
He was back week one, but he didn't look good.
No. It was 12. He tried to do the whole, like, oh, if we're in the playoffs. Yeah. But, like, he wasn't close.
No, and then when he came back week one the next year, like, he didn't look right. He hasn't really looked right until this year. So, like, I guess you can bring in Daniel Jones, but I feel like you have to bring in a third quarterback to be in that competition with Jones, Richardson, and then really it's Richardson versus the other guy.
Yeah.
In case Jones isn't healthy.
I mean, Indy could do it, I guess, because you would still have Richardson on his rookie deal. You could bring in a Bridge who maybe isn't that expensive. Like, you know, you get a kind of a...
Like a Flacco.
Yeah, I was thinking a little bit better than a Flacco. But, I mean, maybe like Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
Maybe Kyler. Bring in Kyler for a year.
I think that's one that, like, you could see, because they made such good progress this year with Daniel Jones. And I think I've made it clear, I'm not a believer.
But is Daniel Jones, was he so good that you're going to give him a 2-year contract when he's going to be hurt through at least December?
No, unfortunately, I think this could be bad for the Texans because I think they could end up with a better quarterback situation.
I don't know.
Like, I'm not a believer in Daniel Jones. Like, I think it was falling apart. Now, it's hard to know this exact timeline of his injury, I think, of when it really started to bother him, the fracture, not obviously the torn Achilles. But, like, they could end up in a better quarterback situation.
I think it's hard for them to end up in a better quarterback situation. Very hard.
Do you think Kyler would work there?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
Because, like, I'm still a believer in Kyler a little bit.
Kyler is going to be interesting, like, in an offense that's good. But, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, like, makes the Arizona offense better. Like, it's weird. Like, yeah, I just don't think Kyler's a winning quarterback.
Michael Wilson's the best wide receiver in the NFL when Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't play.
You see his, like, 17-game pace?
Yeah.
Whenever Kyler's not his quarterback, it's like a joke. It's like 200 catches.
Yeah, it's like JSN numbers.
Yeah.
What he's doing when Marvin Harrison Jr.'s out there and he doesn't have Kyler.
Colts would have to go to the veteran free agent market, though, because they don't have a first-rounder this year or next year because they traded it for Sauce, who also is hurt. So not a great situation for the Colts. That's Jags tough. Are in a good spot. It was almost a dream scenario, selfishly, what happened in the AFC North. I wanted two results to happen in the AFC North. I did want the Steelers to beat the Ravens because I don't want the Ravens anywhere near the playoffs. You got that. Steelers hang on to beat the Ravens. Controversy there with Isaiah Likely late in the game. And then I really wanted the Bengals to beat the Bills for two reasons. One, drama in the AFC North. Secondly, selfishly, I have the Patriots to win the AFC East. Mm-hmm. Almost got that.
You almost got
both.
And then one of the best plays of the season, that pick six, was what a play by the Bills.
Incredible.
That game was so much fun.
Yeah, it was. I love snow games, too.
And it didn't matter for the quarterbacks. They're just throwing the ball around like it's a normal summer day.
I'm telling you, as long as it's not wet or windy, it usually doesn't matter.
Yeah, we saw more effect, I think, in the Tampa Bay game with the weather than we saw in the snow game.
Yeah.
Which, Tampa's in a tough spot.
What's going on with them?
They're just broken.
Lose a home game to the Saints?
They're broken. They got so many injuries.
Carolina's going to win that division, aren't they?
They signed Jason Pierre-Paul to
give him a hand. It's a great move.
He has hands. His fingers he's missing.
Give him a hand. Yeah, they're in a bad. I hate that division so much.
Oh, it's gonna be.
Buccaneers should have ran away with that division.
Like you want to talk about playoff realignment? Everyone's complaining about Notre Dame. You're telling me the Bears and Lions right now don't deserve to be in the playoffs with the winner of the South?
Yeah, it's a shame.
Like, it's just the reality. The Buccaneers or the Panthers are gonna be the worst team in the playoffs this year.
Yeah,
and it won't even be close.
No. I would give me the first team out over those two teams.
Yeah.
Give me the Cowboys. At least they're entertaining.
Where's my committee? Saving the day now.
We need a committee to
now
save
I need
the
a,
day.
Now I need a committee in the NFL.
Broncos now 11-2. Raiders sitting pretty, by the way, for the number one overall pick, thanks to the Titans beating the Browns. So Raiders sit pretty there.
Looking forward to Fernando Mendoza and Ashton Jeanthi.
Gross.
Exactly.
A lot of people are criticizing Stefanski trying to keep Shadur down for taking him off the field in the two-point conversion.
I mean, a couple things. He's starting the rest of the season.
Trying to keep the man down.
Why does it take so long? Because, like, he finally looked good. Like, it's been a rough start. That's one of the worst play calls.
People do that all the time, though.
We sure Stefanski doesn't want to get fired?
He might want to get fired.
Because that play call is trash.
Or he's trying to tank. I don't know. We see teams get cute on 2-point conversions all the time. Like, they do, like, these weird trick things on 2-point conversions. Like, you see it a lot.
Yeah. And I guess you practice it. They must practice it a lot.
You should.
Like, that's the only reason why they did it. Now, you mentioned the Broncos game.
Mm-hmm.
You did forget to mention something.
What's that?
The controversy. It was a 10-point game.
Oh, you're talking about the finish.
10-point game.
One of the worst bad beats ever.
10-point game, 1st and 10. You're down by 10, and you kick a field goal, call the FBI. Like, you got your team total over for the Raiders. It was 15.5, and it was a 7.5-point spread.
He's just trying to make it a one-possession game.
Call the FBI, dude.
What do you want him to do?
Go to jail.
Why?
This is illegal.
What are you talking about?
This is Chauncey Billups.
Illegal?
This is...
It's only illegal if you had a ticket.
This is Jonte Porter.
How do you know Pete Carroll didn't have the under ticket?
Then he wouldn't have kicked the field goal.
How do you know he had... Exactly.
Like, he kicked his field goal to cover the spread.
You could have said that he had a ticket either way.
I don't know. This game is... That's a crazy thing.
You like to take it, like...
This isn't the college football playoffs. A 7-point win doesn't help you. A 7-point loss doesn't help you.
Well, he's trying to make it a one-possession game in case there was any time left on the clock.
There was no time left
on the
clock.
There was also a penalty. Did you also see the penalty that kept the drive alive?
No, I missed that.
There was a penalty that kept the drive alive. It was a delay of game penalty. They passed the ball. I can't remember the receiver, but the receiver had it. He was down. And, you know, the clock's going to run out. Mm-hmm. The clock's going to run out, and the Bronco defender is laying on top of him, not letting him up. So they throw the flag, which kills the clock. Delay of game penalty moves the ball further upfield, which allowed the kick. So, like, Denver had their hands... You know, they had blood on their hands on this as well. Because if you don't get the delay of game penalty, you never have the time to get the field goal.
That's true.
Off.
That's true. But I can't believe they kicked it. There's just no reason.
I just told you the reason.
It's a stupid reason.
No, it's not.
What does it matter if you lost by 7 points?
Because there was 5 seconds on the clock. If the field goal takes 3 seconds, not that it would, you have a chance at the onside kick. You see teams do that all the time. They just didn't have quite enough time.
Yeah. It looks shady.
You want to take care of your home fans.
I'm sure a lot of people there had Raiders plus 7.
No, it's a bad beat. It's a bad beat.
If you had the Raiders, you're a happy man.
I think it's a worse beat, though, on the delay of game penalty.
Yeah.
Like, just get off of them. Like, yeah. you know they're not going to have enough time to run off another play. Just get off of them. Like, totally what are you doing?
That's how I feel about watching college and the NFL. I know you get the auto sub if the offense subs, but, like, get these guys off the field on defense. They're walking off the field.
Well, don't sub.
I know, but, like, there has to be some, like,
you're run. Supposed to do it with a reasonable effort.
But they don't.
Don't sub.
I know. Don't sub, but like there is no reasonable effort.
You know the rule. You know it's the rule. The really smart coaches take advantage of it too.
Yeah,
like you'll see like a team sub with like 10 seconds left, and the moment they do that, it's going to be a delay game or timeout.
Yeah,
because that defensive tackle that's running off the field is going to take his sweet time.
Yeah, big boy runs slow.
I like it though. I think it's smart. Give me all the advantages for the defense.
Steelers were probably the other best one of the weekend, just because you now control your destiny.
Big win. I didn't expect that either. I don't think much of the Steelers. Also, a Texans note, Vikings shut out the Commanders. Texans own the Commanders draft pick of the second round, which is starting to look pretty good.
The Texans draft capital, actually, this year, it's flipped because the Texans are, their picks are better, but they also have some Giants picks.
Yeah, the Giants with the Jackson Dart pick.
Yeah, so.
Jackson Dart was taken with the Texans pick.
It's actually like their draft capital this year is actually going to end up being pretty good, even though they're now going to be most likely in the 20s, but you have a second and a fourth from Washington and a third from the Giants. So you're going to have
top 40 picks.
Yeah, you're going to have top picks in the second, third, and fourth round. So that's pretty good.
We're going to have 3 picks in the top 40.
Yeah.
At minimum.
Yep.
Well, if they continue to lose, which we think they will. Yeah, they're not in a bad draft spot.
What'd you think of Daniels getting hurt?
That was kind of a soft injury.
Yeah, well, it's the elbow he dislocated.
I know, but he didn't land on it that
and
hard.
They said he could have come back in.
Yeah,
and they're just protecting him. But then why did he play?
Yeah, he shouldn't play anymore.
So, like, if you're going to play him and then he hurts it, but you're not going to put him back in, then you probably just shouldn't have played him from the beginning.
Yeah, he shouldn't play him again.
And it's not – can't forget that he got hurt in a blowout loss.
Can't play him again.
So
he needs to be out for the year. All right, junkie of the day. Who's your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. Time for our junkie of the day. 713-780-3776. Who is your junkie of the day? Where was AR yesterday? Is he hurt? Yep, he's on the IR. Someone said the Lions are the best win because they beat the Cowgirls. We're not going to support that sort of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It's very insulting to girls. All right, who is your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. Joe, who do you got?
Oh, I got two now.
What's that?
First one, I have to nominate you.
I got screwed with the capital letters.
So on our giveaway, let's scroll back up here real quick. It says, the world of Avatar will change forever as conflict on Pandora escalates. Mm-hmm. You said escalates.
I thought it was a place.
I thought it was a bit. I thought you were just being silly.
Who writes in all capital letters?
Courtney.
That screwed me up.
Yeah, I get it. I thought it was a bit. You thought it was the name of the movie.
I've never seen Avatar, so that's I thought that, and I know that it's
Escalates.
Fiction. Yeah. That's how I talk.
Am I the one? Bob Nightingale. Bob Nightingale for being terrible at his job. Reported over the weekend that Zach Gallen had signed a 4-year, $88 million deal with the Cubs. Within 2 minutes, Jeff Passan's had a tweet, there is no deal in place. And then Bob had to follow that up with, update, the Cubs are hopeful they can get a deal done. Bob Nightingale.
That was bad.
Yikes, dude.
What was he thinking?
I don't know. He's so bad at his job.
How does that happen?
Yeah. Like, he only gets Astros stuff, right? Because he has a clear line with Crane.
Yeah, that must be what it is, huh?
But, like, everything else, like, every year he gets something catastrophically wrong.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And, like, USA Today, like, just doesn't care.
No one cares.
I care.
Aaron Wilson gets injuries wrong all the time.
I mean, I care about Bob being that bad.
Because he...
He won't be on this show ever.
Fake newsed?
No, he just won't be on this show.
Why not?
He's not reputable, in my opinion.
Is that the only people we interview are reputable sources?
Only when they're this bad? Yeah.
I think we should get him on.
Well, his phone connection is also always terrible. You can never understand a word he says.
I like how you said reputable. Like, that matters for us.
I think when you're this bad, I think it matters. Normally, I don't care.
We're not reputable. You and I are not.
Yeah, we are. We don't break fake news.
We should, though. Right. What if we just posted, like, Justin Verlander's deep in conversations with the Houston Astros? Do you think that people would, like, believe it?
If, like, the station tweeted it?
What if I did it?
Yeah.
What if I did?
Yeah, I think if you tweeted, people would believe it.
Sources close to me are saying that the Astros and Justin Verlander are deep in negotiations.
Yeah, I think people would believe it.
You think like big markets would pick it up? Like, you know, the maybe not big markets, but like aggregators?
Oh, yeah, like crawfish boxes, all those.
You think I should do it?
Yeah.
You know, like people would be offended. Like the real journalists would be offended. Like, how dare you do that? Chandler. You've lost all reputable. Like, I don't care.
Chandler would crush you.
It's for fun.
Yeah. Heisman finalists are out. Julian Sayin, Diego Pavia, Fernando Mendoza, Jeremiah Love.
I care more about creating a fake story. Should we do this?
Yes.
Should we create a fake rumor on the internet?
I already said yes.
You want to do it under your name?
No, people won't believe me.
I want to nominate the Houston Texans for my junkie of the day for leaving me in the waiting room of the D'Amico Ryan Zoom.
Fair.
At 2 o'clock. It's messed up, man.
Disrespect.
I wasn't even going to ask a question.
He tweets real stories.
I was just going to listen.
Yeah.
And they kept me in the waiting room.
Disrespect.
Kept me behind the fourth wall.
We're a drive time show.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
No.
See, look, we're not reputable.
Maybe that's
Houston
why.
Texans won't allow me into the D'Amico Ryan Zoom meeting. I wasn't even going to ask anything.
They said, nope.
Need to get to the bottom of this.
Not welcome here.
All right, what's winning?
Texans.
Yeah, keeping me in the...
I'm a team player.
Yeah, messed up. Can you send them a strongly worded letter as our APD?
I can ask nicely.
Nah, I don't really care. All right, does it for us. Thanks to Age for the hard work. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. 7 o'clock, Bucky McMillan Show. Coming up next, ESPN National. Good night, everybody. Escalates.
ESPN 97.5.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.